What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 15, College and University Spotlight for February 22nd, 2012.
Today, our special guest is Dawn Stuckey, the athletic trainer from Rice University.
She's a head athletic trainer at Rice University. She's been an athletic trainer for 9 years, seventh season at Rice, and third as a head athletic trainer, and works primarily with women's basketball, and which includes travel. And you know, I think that's at all the college levels, so it's not just go up, work a basketball game, and go home.
Yeah, most people think, you know, she just wiggles her nose and she just appears there, you know.
Nope. All right, we'll go ahead and get it started with Dawn. Of course, we forgot to introduce ourselves. Of course, I am Jackson.
Hey, I'm Doc Hale.
I'm Sarah.
Dawn Stuckey.
Michelle.
Anna.
And then we got several other students here in the audience, and maybe some more coming in later because they just want to see how cool we are. All right, Dawn, give us a little bit of background. Where you from? Where did you grow up? That kind of thing.
Okay. I'm originally from Hutchinson, Kansas, which is a really small town in Kansas, and I've basically played sports all my life. I love playing basketball, and so I played in college as well, and I decided in high school that I wanted to be an athletic trainer, so I had to manage my time very well during college so I could do athletic training and basketball at the same time. So I went to a four-year school, Newman University in Wichita, Kansas, for my bachelor's in athletic training and biology. And then I got my master's degree at UT Tyler in Tyler, Texas. And while I was doing that, I worked as a graduate assistant at Tyler Junior College. So, and I'm, like I said, I have my master's degree, and I'm licensed and certified as an athletic trainer.
All right. Sounds good. This was Fernando's question. Fernando, I think he's asked this a couple times when we've had a guest. You want to ask it, Fernando? It's in pink, like your phone. Are you sure? All right. Anna, why don't you go ahead and ask this one? All right, I got it. You said you grew up playing basketball. So have you ever been treated by an athletic trainer?
I was pretty fortunate to not be injured very much during my basketball career. But in high school, we had an outreach athletic trainer that came once a week to the high school. And I hurt my ankle my senior year. And that's where I kind of made contact with them, and they helped me out. And then I decided I wanted to do athletic training after that.
That was, I think Dr. Wise said that he got hurt and then went to chiropractor, and that's how he kind of got into what he was doing. So,
but we didn't have athletic trainers at our school full-time at all, so it was nice to meet one finally.
In Kansas, right?
Yes.
So in Kansas, do you know if it's still that way? Do they have full-time athletic trainers in high schools? Or
Some of the bigger schools in Wichita do. Most of them do outreach athletic training still, where they come 2 or 3 days a week instead of full-time. Like I said, some of the bigger schools in Wichita do, but definitely not where I was from in the smaller schools. I had like 300 kids in my entire the entire school, so
oh, okay.
We didn't have a lot of coverage.
Yeah, that's probably, is that like a 1A school here?
Yeah, maybe 2A.
Maybe 2A?
2A. Maybe 1A, 2A, yeah.
So I think 3As, a lot of 3As will have a single athletic trainer, but I don't know about.
Most of them do, not all.
But
so there are some that still have contracts too, so contract trainers in those areas.
Describe your typical week schedule.
It's a little different for me when I'm in basketball season, but when I'm not in season, I guess a typical day, I get there around 8:30 or 9 in the morning, and then I leave around 6:30 p.m. If we don't have a game. And then we all rotate and split the morning, so one day a week I come in at 6 a.m. to cover swimming practice or conditioning or something like that. But I'm always at basketball practice every day that we have practice. I'm always at their weights in the morning or conditioning. I'm with them all the time. And then we also try to do our doctor's appointments in the mornings too when they don't have, if they're they have a break in classes, then we try to get them in the doctor in the morning. And then during basketball season, I'm a little busier because I travel with them. We play on Thursday and Sundays, and so I'm traveling at least 2 to 3 days a week with the team. So like this weekend, for example, I'll be gone on Saturday and Sunday to El Paso with the team.
That's pretty cool because I remember college. I remember how I worked college basketball 1 year, and we had to go on the, because that's back in the, I went to Sam Houston.
Oh, yeah.
So that's back in the old days when we were in Lone Star Conference. So we had to take, we'd play two schools because we go, you know, hit them twice. So we'd go up to Stephen F. and then we'd go up to East Texas, you know, we'd play one on Friday, and then we'd drive and play the next one on, like, Sunday, I think, yeah. And then, you know, we'd have the others where it was like Abilene Christian and then San Angelo State together. I never took the trip to Sol Ross, so, but the whole time I was at Sam, but I understand the traveling and playing, except we went in a little van, so.
Yeah, it's fun, but we definitely fly everywhere, and it takes a toll on you. You get a little tired every once in a while, but it's a fun perk.
So have you taken many bus trips with the team?
Every once in a while we do a few bus trips. Like, we did bus to Dallas this last weekend to play SMU, and then we'll bus back from Memphis for the conference tournament. But that's about it. Usually we fly everywhere. Except when we play Houston, of course.
Of course. Yeah, that's how I actually got to see a lot of Texas, was traveling with the teams in college. So we went all over Texas. Of course, at HBU, it was still NAIA, so we played a lot of small schools. And, I mean, mm-hmm. small, like Jarvis Christian College or Huston-Tillotson. I mean, those schools are small.
That's a tough one to say there.
Yeah, I always used to say Houston, but it's Huston, Huston-Tillotson. So, I got to see a lot of Texas. So,
have you had any other jobs or careers? If so, what made you switch to athletic training?
The only other job besides athletic training that I've had is I was a waitress during a waitress hostess during high school and college, and then after that I played basketball, and then I was an athletic trainer. So, I think as a waitress you have to work hard too. So I think I learned how to do time management and hardworking skills right away, and then you just keep going with athletic training. You definitely have to be a hard worker to be an athletic trainer.
All right, so obviously you can see right here we're in the training room, and there'll be some pictures posted, but the typical training room we work out of is pretty small. It's like a closet, and I know some of these students were here with us when we visited Rice last year, but can you kind of describe what your facilities or where you work?
Sure. We have three different athletic training rooms at Rice. One of them is at baseball, and it's pretty small. We like to call it the Bat Cave because it only holds two tables, two treatment tables, so it's pretty small. But the other two, we have one at football, and then we have one at the gym, which we call Tudor Fieldhouse, and that's where most of our athletic trainers are. We have seven athletic trainers that their offices are in the training room there, and we have a small rehab area with a bunch of treatment tables, I guess 10 treatment tables and some machines, and then we also have a hot tub and a cold tub. So that's our baby. We love our cold tub in the training room, and everyone loves that. And then our football athletic training room is a little older. If anyone was there last year, you could see we're trying to raise money to rebuild that in the next couple years. But that's our training rooms.
Aren't y'all moving up a conference?
We just we don't have a name yet, but we are merging with Mountain.
They're doing two together, aren't they?
Two of them, Mountain
the Big
West,
East
or whoever's with UNLV and oh my gosh. Nevada, Reno, I think it's Mountain West.
Mountain West, mm-hmm. And who's the other conference?
Oh, just one. They're going to merge with us.
Oh, they're going to merge.
And then it's going to be...
Oh, with the U.S.?
Yeah, Conference USA. Yeah, sorry.
I'm getting all confused with all these different conferences, how they're changing and everything, so I didn't know where Rice was going, so...
Yeah, there's a ton of changes right now, and I think...
But that's not going to go into effect till what?
2 years, 2013.
2013,
so, and I was really bummed, though, University of Hawaii is coming in for football, but football only. So I thought I was going to get to go to Hawaii and play basketball there, but we're not going, unfortunately.
Yeah, that stinks. Yeah. That's what I remember, one of the big draws of, you know, let's go to Rice so we can be an athletic trainer and go to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's only football.
Yeah, only football in 2 years.
So. Oh, just be a football trainer.
Yep, hitch a ride with them.
That's cool. Okay, how are your responsibilities different from that of ours in the secondary setting?
I know you said you've never worked in high school, but
yeah,
what you can gather, I guess.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference for us is that we have one athletic trainer per team or close to it. We have one, like I'm assigned to women's basketball, and then we have another athletic trainer that's assigned to soccer and to basketball. And so we're very specific in our sports, as you know, I know these two guys obviously work really hard with a ton of athletes, and we get to go. I specialize with 15 to 20 athletes per year. And obviously I help with the other sports a little bit, but those are my main my main kids that I take care of. So that's a huge difference for that. And then I think another difference is we also send our athletes, we kind of have control of where we send our athletes because they're 18 or older usually. So we send them to our doctors and we pay for their doctor's appointments and MRIs and stuff like that if they're hurt at Rice while playing athletics. And that enables us to get them back on the court quicker. We can see who we want to see where we have more contact with the doctors that we use on a daily basis.
So you have more control with them.
Yes.
Yeah, we were just talking to Dom before we started recording. We have an issue with an athlete injured at the end of football season, has not gone back to the doctor since he went to the emergency room, but is participating in workouts and things like that, and is pretty much refusing to go back to the doctor. And so, I mean, it part of it is because of money, and, you know, that is understandably an issue, but I guess that's a great joy of working in college is you can, hey, you're 18, you're an adult, you know, and then in college you also, if you don't play, you lose your scholarship or whatever and you're gone, so.
Right, yeah, we look at it more of as, that's their job, you know, they're making, or they're spending, I guess, or making $50,000 a year as a college athlete. If you think about it that way, that's about how much it costs to go to Rice. So,
ooh.
Yeah, about 50 grand a year. So we want them to be at their highest quality of play at all times. So we can kind of control that a little more.
So that's how they're getting paid.
That's
getting
their paycheck.
They're getting paid to get that education. So
yes, they're not really getting paid NCAA. Don't audit us.
No,
or
no.
It's just scholarship.
No, it's their scholarship.
So, all right, I think Sarah has a question for you.
What is the worst part of your job?
Well, because I like being an athletic trainer, I wouldn't call it the worst part of my job. I would say a downfall is that probably sometimes the travel and the hours can be a little bit more demanding than usual because we're gone 2 to 3 days a week. And it's always 2 to 3 days in 1 week that we do for travel. It gets a little taxing sometimes. And then unfortunately, athletic trainers at the college level aren't paid as well as they should be. That's not to discourage anyone from doing it because you have to like what you're doing, that's for sure. But, you know, they start a little lower in the pay rate because the state isn't helping their salary out like the high schools, I think, do. So,
I guess if it's all right with you or as much as you want to say, you know, what's the disparity? Is it mostly just because we are state employees and you're not?
I think that's the general, that's one of the big ones is, you know, you guys have a set salary that you start with, and then I think you get stipends after that. Is that right?
Correct.
For us, you know, if somebody wants to work at Texas because they think it's cool, they'll take a job, you know, as right out of college for $25,000 at Texas because they want all the gear and they want all the hype and go to the bowl games and that kind of stuff, where they'll be willing to work that for a couple of years and then move up. So the colleges don't have to pay them as much because there's a much higher demand to work at a college setting to get all the frills and the hype and just to be at the college setting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, I guess the pro level, they get paid, you know, at least what we do, and then, you know, they get way up more, but it's kind of the same deal as people would volunteer to work there just to be part of the program.
Right.
It's more like a starter job, basically, when you're real young, you got free time and all that, and it's, you want to stay with the hype of the college setting, yeah.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And obviously the pay gets better the more experience you have, but I think that because a lot of people want to work college jobs, they can keep the pay down a little bit more because of the demand.
I know when I was at HBU, the guy that was there my senior or my fifth year, he said he was making the same amount. Well, when I went back after I graduated, he said he was making less than I was as a starting teacher. And so, and that was like his 10th year as an athletic trainer. And, you know, he's working at at that time there was still NAI working at university, traveling with the teams, putting in quite a bit more hours than I was, and he was making less as I was as a first-year graduate. So,
yeah, that's pretty typical, unfortunately.
I'm
glad I went where I did.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I never...
When I graduated, I was offered the grad assistant at SAM, and all they were going to give me was $1,700 a semester.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, can't do it. Sorry, I can't live on $1,700 plus pay for my school, and that was impossible. So
yeah.
That was
definitely gonna have to love what you do, and you have to. It takes a certain kind of athletic trainer to be at a college level, because there are, you know, some of those downfalls. You have to weigh the positives and negatives. Yeah. And they can only give me so many pairs of Nike shoes. So
yeah. So, that you're talking about a full-time athletic trainer, not an intern, right, or a grad assistant.
Right.
They can typically start around 25.
Yeah, I would say, well, we have some interns that, I would say probably 25,000 to around 60 to 70,000 is your average pay, probably with 35 to 40 being the most general is what normal athletic trainers.
So we have a couple of students here that are interested in doing athletic training, and what would they expect? So if they go to undergraduate school and do athletic training, what would they expect as far as pay or fees or whatever for graduate school at Rice?
Gotcha. Actually, we have a really good program geared towards our graduate assistants. You can be an intern as well. They actually go to the University of Houston and get their master's degree in there in sports administration or kinesiology. And we actually pay them a salary where they get health insurance and they get $25,000 a year. And that includes their books, their stipends. So you have to worry about, you know, paying for school. But if you're in state, then it's pretty cheap, pretty inexpensive to go to U of H. And then you work as a full-time athletic trainer with us. And we have one that's at men's and women's tennis right now. Another one that's with volleyball. And let's see, the other one is at football. And so you kind of we can put you at a sport that you're interested in that you want to work eventually. You know, when you graduate. And then you work towards that for 2 years. So we kind of help you pay your way. I think we're one of the higher paid internships in the state for sure. So.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So
pretty cool.
So if they graduate from graduate school while they're working with Rice, does their graduate diploma say Rice or U of H?
No, U of H. It's completely separate. We just give them. That's why it's a salary. So we give them a salary just like a regular job, and then they use that money to go to grad school. So technically, they could go to an online program at University of California, Pennsylvania, or something like that. They could do a complete online program somewhere else. We're just helping pay their way.
Gotcha. And y'all kind of have a relationship established with the U of H.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay. I understand. So kind of following right along there, would you recommend that athletic trainers go to graduate school, or that they, I guess, depending on where they want to go, huh?
Yeah, I honestly would recommend it. I think that because the internship level has changed so much, internship and now the accredited level for athletic training has changed so much, you don't get quite as much hands-on experience as you used to. So before you're used to a high-paying high school athletic training job or something like that, I would recommend going and getting your master's right after you get your bachelor's degree. That way you're still kind of in the broke stage and you're not used to the big bucks. And,
right.
You know, you're still used to going to school. Get it for two more years. And the way that our athletic trainers benefit the most is we put them with a team by themselves. And so they're forced to make decisions on their own and grow as an athletic trainer and learn bring what they've learned from their undergraduate, but also learn from all of the other athletic trainers and kind of make their own way and decide how they're going to be, you know, making decisions and be as an athletic trainer. So it makes you grow and make decisions on your own for sure.
Yeah, whenever I was at HBU, that's how I was fresh out of high school, and I was basically the baseball athletic trainer. Obviously, there was a licensed trainer that was over me, but, I mean, I went on the road with them. I was at all their practices, and I saw a lot of stuff. I mean, I think my first year there, I saw two guys collide and one fracture his eye socket, had to end up having a plate and stuff like that put in. And, you know, I honestly didn't really know what to do, but all right, well, let's take you inside. But, you know, I learned from that experience. So probably what I wouldn't have learned from sitting in the classroom. So.
Absolutely. And you're forced to make it because there's no one else there when you're on the road, you know, to do it. So you gain confidence that way and you learn from other people. It's a great experience. You guys all got to go. I recommend it. Let somebody else pay for your education.
Yeah, I understand that. I just didn't do the graduate program, but when I was in college, we did have to travel. When you were a junior and senior, you were assigned a team. So my junior year, I did basketball. And then when I was doing my student teaching my senior year, I did my only women's sport when I was in college. I did girls softball, so that was interesting. So as far as the traveling and then making decisions and doing stuff like that, so both sports, you know, the head athletic trainer, he was not around. So I was there, and I was on the road and away, and I pretty much had to
do the
job, yeah. So, but I think it paid off for me in the long run, so.
Absolutely.
But that was back in the old days, so that's before Jeremy was born.
Yep,
no,
literally.
Not really. No, that's a joke. I'm not that old, so, but.
No, you started working here before I was born.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be 31 in March.
That's right, man. It was before you were
born. How long have you been here?
This is 32 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. Dang.
Yep. First trainer placed into a high school in Pasadena ISD.
Yeah.
He's a legend right there. 32 years, same spot.
Same spot, yeah. So.
All right. Oh, I was just going to ask you something. I forgot. So I think Michelle's got the next thing they wanted to ask, the kids wanted to ask, so.
What is the best part of being an athletic trainer?
I think the best part at the college level anyways is getting to see the high level of competition. Because I played sports all my life, I get caught up in, you know, the Hoosiers gym at Indiana and seeing the big crowds and stuff like that. So that's pretty neat to go see some pretty historic places and the championships that they have, the history, you know, going to Allen Fieldhouse and at KU, stuff like that. So that's pretty neat to get caught up in the history. And then also just to be able to help the athletes on a daily basis and get relationships with them and then see them through till the end. You know, like if I did an ACL rehab with somebody, I'm with that girl on the basketball team for 6 months straight, 6-8 months, and then to see her go back and play is an amazing thing. And then to see her score her first basket is just awesome because you know that you helped her get to that point. So the satisfaction of getting somebody back to return to play and developing those relationships is pretty neat.
All right, so you've been to a lot of different universities and things like that. When we went and visited Rice, I swear we walked like 30 miles because we went and like,
oh, yeah,
saw that.
It was like everywhere. I needed a golf cart. We needed a transportation just to get from the football over to
because we went from football and to the weight room and the stadium and the track and baseball field.
I think she took us through all over the whole campus.
See, and I felt that. Tour. I thought we were giving you the nickel tour. So. should have carried a cow with us behind us for water.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, and we're actually a pretty small campus.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, our athletes kind of complain that they have to walk pretty far. And I know kids at College Station and at A&M that, you know, if you have 15 minutes between classes, they have to book it, you know, to get across campus to get to their next class on time. So I think we're a pretty small campus.
Yeah, that would be a little touch of information to anybody going to college. You know your campus and plan your schedule really well.
Absolutely.
So you have time to get to your next class.
Yeah, at HBU, I could probably get from the dorms to the other end of campus in 5 minutes, maybe 7 if I was strolling or talking to somebody.
Yeah, that's the way it was with Sam. I grouped all my classes together, so I'd have a lot more free time. But
yeah,
big campuses, that ain't happening. So
yep. Well, and another downfall is because our football stadium is so far away from our gym that a lot of times we don't see the five football athletic trainers that are over there. And so we have to kind of force ourselves to have, you know, lunch once a month just so we all kind of see each other because we're all so busy doing different things that a lot of times we kind of forget about each other on the other side of campus, even though it's half a mile away or, you know, whatever. It seems so far to get over there sometimes. So
I understand that.
Yeah.
Like I said, we don't teach biology or math anymore, and so it's kind of the same way. I'll go up and visit the science teachers every once in a while, but if without intentional purpose, then I just don't see them, and that's like, I don't know, a quarter mile away.
Yeah, you're in your kind of your own little corner in the athletic training room sometimes.
Yep. So, all right. Well, we already talked about salaries. Do you have anything else you wanted to comment on there? Graduate assistants. Of course, you got to pardon our school bills.
I just don't want to discourage anybody from the salary. You know, it's even though sometimes it's a lower salary, it's really a great place to work, and it's not definitely for everyone. But you find your niche at where you want to be, and you fall in love with it, and that's where it is. So, don't always worry about the money, no matter where you go. You have to love what you're doing. If that's athletic training, physical therapy, being a waitress, whatever you're doing, you have to love what you're doing. So.
Yeah, I do agree on that one. So I wish I would have stayed in school, got my master's. It might have been better, but things happen. Things, you make different decisions, so you got to go with it. So. Yeah.
One other thing, a lot of the colleges, after, you know, you work full-time at a university, they do want you to have your master's degree. So if you are thinking that you want to work at a college, yeah, it's really recommended that you go get your master's.
And then at the pro sports, I assume that you've heard of Sue Falzon. She's the trainer for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I just saw that in an article. And so, I would love to get her on here because most of these kids here are females. And if they're interested in being a student trainer, it's a great inspiration. And so, at minimum, there she would have to have a master's, right, to work
yeah.
in professional
sports.
Yeah,
because that's the way all the pro sports were masters. So,
which would be a perfect segue into our next.
Yeah. So, where do you see yourself in 5 years, or 10 years, or even further down the road?
Believe it or not, 5 years is kind of a long time. That was a hard question for me. Hopefully, I'm still the head athletic trainer somewhere. Hopefully, at Rice. And I've started a family. I feel like the college level has kind of pushed back my starting a family time here. So hopefully that'll happen pretty soon, and then we'll go from there. So I still like being in the head athletic trainer role at this time. So hopefully be there. And then in I guess 10 to 15 years, you know, I think at this point I'd like to be an assistant athletic director of a sports medicine program. So all the large schools, the larger Division I schools, they have their head athletic trainer, but they also have somebody in charge that's above them that helps with all the regulations and the codes and policies. Like when the NCAA comes out with new rules, and you know, I have to make sure that everything's safe and up to code and everything like that. So I'd like to kind of be in an administrative role at that point.
So you'd be kind of away from the athletic training room for the most part. You would be an administrator taken care of.
Yeah, a little bit. I think that they cover like a small sport like golf or tennis or something. I think I'd like to still be in that aspect a little bit. I don't want to get away from it completely.
Right.
But yeah, I'd like the administrative role.
So. Yeah, I'm kind of looking towards retirement and seeing maybe I could go work golf. So.
Yeah, last week we had an assistant principal at one of our high schools came, and he was an athletic trainer for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he just recently switched to being an administrator, and he said, you know, I was raising everybody else's kids but my own.
Yeah.
And so I made the switch for my family, and he said he works, I think, one like girls basketball game, one boys basketball game, one baseball game, one softball game, something like that. So the volume of hours he works throughout the school year is dramatically decreased. And so
yeah, that's exactly why I would want to do that, so I could spend more time with my family, for sure.
Very cool. Yeah, I've talked about doing something similar, maybe just going back to being a regular teacher, but the way we have it set up now, I don't know if I could go back to the classroom after just teaching sports medicine. So, okay, and then this is another one of Fernando's questions. Fernando is the masked man over there. He doesn't want to talk.
Do you have any plans for retirement age after reaching a certain level?
I'm pretty young now, so I really haven't thought about the age I want to retire. I would hope, you know, 65 or so, but I think I always want to do something with athletic training, more as in, you know, even if I can pick up a weekend tournament, just so I can stay in the sports world and stuff like that when I'm that age, I guess. After reaching a certain level, I probably would see, you know, after being assistant athletic director, if the hours do get pretty hard, then I would probably go to a contract level where, you know, you work at a hospital and then they tell you where to go and work a couple of days a week or something like that.
You plan to stay in Texas, or does that?
Most likely. My husband's from Texas. He's from Katy. And unfortunately, Kansas doesn't pay as well as, you know, they're not really as respected there. Athletic trainers aren't as a respected profession yet. So if it would change in the next, you know, 10, 15 years, I would definitely move back. But at this point, Texas it's all about sports and all about athletic training. So I can see myself staying here. So
I guess unless you get an administrator job in, you know, Ohio or something.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm a country girl. I wouldn't mind moving out to the country. Probably one of my dream jobs would be Texas A&M. So.
All right, A&M, be on the lookout. Okay, so, again, I mentioned a couple times we have some kids that are interested in being an athletic trainer, and I know you've said some of these, but what are some of the things that we need to, I guess, instill in these kids, or they need to really work on refining so that they can be an athletic trainer working at your level?
I think work ethic is a big one. You have to be willing to put in a lot of hours, but you have to have a positive attitude and want to work really hard when you're doing it. You know, I don't want to have to tell somebody 10 times to go, you know, fill up the water or go tape an ankle, because we've got so much stuff going on that we need you to just know where to go and willing to work hard and work long hours to get it done. So, but you also have to realize that with hard work, you get positive attitude and you get positive feedback. So a lot of people will want to help you out and do things for you if you're helping them out and work hard. Mm-hmm. So it pays off in the long run, for sure. I'm sure you've never heard that before, though, you know. Everybody says that, so. And then I guess punctuality, always be on time. Never, ever let a coach or player wait for you or an athletic trainer. I'm never the last one on the bus when I leave for a road trip, because I never want that glare from the coach. You know, I'm always 5 minutes early to everything, so I definitely recommend that. And then, just like I said, with the hard work, being dependable. If you tell your athletic trainer or your mom or whoever in any circumstance that you're going to be there, you need to be there and get it done. You know, get the job done, but do it well too. So, you know, just be dependable and love what you do. You have to love it.
Okay, so where can someone find out more about working in the college or university setting, like at Rice or in another university or whatever?
Well, you can always go to the Rice University, Rice Owls website, and we have our sports medicine page that kind of tells you about our staff members and a biography about them, so you can see where they've worked. But you can also go to the SWATA website or the NCAA website, and especially NATA website. That's our national organization, obviously, that posts a lot of the jobs, and they tell you which ones are accredited, so you can look at applying to universities and stuff for, you know, the accredited undergraduate degrees. So, and of course, if you have any other questions, I would be glad to help you out too. So,
all right. So would it be okay if I won't post your email, but I'll post a link so that people can email you from where the podcast is. Would that be?
Yeah, that's fine. Sure.
All right. So that'll be on there. I'll post a link so you can just click email Dawn from there, or Ms. Stuckey. Either way, it depends on who you are, I guess. And then I'll put the other links up, and it's riceowls.com, right?
Right, correct.
Yeah, because I think I typed in riceowls.edu, and I don't know, gave me an error or something like that.
Yeah. But,
so riceowls.com. All right, so this is something pretty cool. You talked about you're going to be starting a summer camp, and I know that the details aren't 100% because you're in the middle of basketball season, but give us a real quick breakdown of what you got going on there.
Well, this is actually going to be the first summer that we're going to try it. We have a lot of teams that work out year-round, so that's another big difference between college and high school is I have men's and women's basketball, volleyball, soccer, and football all working out in the summer, and they're all trying to get better by lifting weights and doing conditioning. And so we always need help from student athletic trainers to help get all this, you know, the water ready and observe weightlifting and conditioning and stuff. So we thought it would be a great opportunity for high school student athletic trainers to come in and see what we do at the college level and, you know, see how the weight room is run and how the conditioning and how many athletic trainers are out there and just see how everything is ran at a higher level. So you cannot be a student athlete at the time that you're volunteering, because it's an NCAA violation. But if you're just a student athletic trainer, you're welcome to contact me, and we can get you some volunteer hours this summer. And some of them may be early, some of them may be in the afternoon. You know, we do workouts from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. at night. So we have plenty of opportunity for you guys to come out and observe and see how we do things at the college level. And that'll give you a little taste of what you can expect at the undergraduate level.
So did you say it's only for graduating seniors? Like basically they have to be out of high school, or could they be a student trainer that's like Anna Laura, she's a junior?
Right, right. No, you can definitely be a junior, sophomore, freshman, whatever level. You just can't be an athlete at the same time. So in your instance, it would be it works out for you because you're graduating, so you're not going to play athletics. You're not going to do a sport in college. So yeah, then you're fine. It's just a rule that they have. You can't do both.
Okay, so an athlete would have to have graduated, because I guess it would be kind of like y'all are recruiting.
Exactly.
Okay.
We would be giving them a perk or a benefit, so a recruitment, so we couldn't do that. But as long as you're just an athletic trainer and you're not participating in any sports, then yeah, you can come by. And the more experience you have, the better it's going to look on your resume and your applications for undergraduate school. The more you'll learn and become confident, because we'll ask you to do some things on your own, hook people up to STEM machines and help you tape and stuff like that too. So.
And more importantly, the more people you know.
Exactly. It's all about who you know and how many people you know.
Yep. Because one day Don could be an administrator at a university that you want to work for, and it's like, oh, I remember you. See?
That's right.
I'll still be here at Pasadena.
That's how I got the job at Rice, actually, or an interview anyways, as I knew somebody that I had ran into in undergraduate school, and then I contacted them. So.
Yeah, that's same with HBU as well. As a student athletic trainer, one of the guys that was a contract trainer at Dobie High School actually went to HBU for his graduate and worked with the guy that was the head trainer there, and so he said, hey, they have a spot open. You know, call this guy. So, again, it is really just about all the people you know, more than it is the stuff you know, I guess. So, more people and opportunities you get exposed to. Bill had to step out. We had an injury or something. Girls came in kind of panicked. So, anything else on the summer camp? Anybody? Questions?
Do we, like, email you about it?
Yeah, I'll give Jeremy my email, and just contact me, and it's a couple months away. Obviously, we won't start until June after you guys get out of school, so we'll kind of get a schedule going for a couple of week rotation or something where you can come in 2 or 3 days a week or once a week, whatever. We're willing to work with your schedule because, you know, we're just happy to have some help and then to teach you some stuff, so it's pretty laid back and flexible. So.
See, this is another reason I love doing the podcast, because when we had Dr. Wiesen, he was like, you know, just contact me and we'll set up a private tour of the lab and this other stuff. And, you know, now I wouldn't have known about your summer camp if, you know, I hadn't been talking to you about coming on the show. And, you know, now the kids are knowing they have another opportunity to come and learn and meet more people and get the feel for the college level. So I get to learn a lot of cool things. So.
Absolutely.
All right. So that'll bring us towards the end. I know you had a couple parting thoughts, so Don, if you would.
I think just in athletic training in general, just make sure that you enjoy what you do, and at some point you'll probably have to decide, you know, if you want to be a high school athletic trainer, college, professional, work at a hospital, and you just have to decide, you know, what makes you the happiest, because you do work some long hours, so you need to make sure you enjoy what sport you work or what facility you work with. And then also, this is something that one of my mentors told me a long time ago, is you try to volunteer if you can, and volunteer in general. You know, it doesn't have to be with athletic training, but if you guys can take a few hours a week and volunteer somewhere, you know, at a homeless shelter. I like to volunteer at the Houston Humane Society. I like to go walk dogs. That's kind of my stress reliever, is to go hang out with the dogs for a while. You get to know a lot of amazing people, and I think it makes you appreciate kind of what you have a lot of times, because, you know, you go volunteer somewhere else. So just a few hours every couple of weeks, especially in the athletic training setting too. I volunteered with the Comets and the Rockets, you know, while I was working full-time at Rice, just because I wanted to see what that level was like. I was really fortunate to get to go do that, but I did it for free, and I worked another 20 hours a week on top of what I was already working, 50 hours. At Rice, and I've got to volunteer, and it put me in a lot of great opportunities and places just because I volunteered. So you may have to do some things for free, but it'll be worth it in the end.
So. Did you get to travel with the Rockets or Comets at all?
I didn't. I was so bummed. I worked all their home games, though. And
what were you doing at their home games?
Basically, I was kind of their behind-the-scenes gal. I could go out and watch the games, but I did help tape. I was at practices every day, so I taped Yao Ming's foot a couple of times. That was pretty crazy.
Was it big?
It was huge. He's got a big foot, yeah. The 2-inch tape does not do justice on Yao Ming. But And I stocked the doctor's supplies. If we had anyone that needed stitches, I would prep everything for the doctor to come back and do stitches, because they do them right there on the scene. So they come back in the doctor's office and give them stitches right there. So I would kind of stock everything and get everything ready, because the other two athletic trainers were too busy doing everything else. So, do some treatments. Back when I was there, Tracy McGrady was there and Yao was there. So that was pretty amazing. The coolest thing was, they walk up to you and they introduce themselves. Hi, I'm Tracy. And I'm like, I know. But it's really nice, because they introduce themselves like a normal person. And, they just treat you like anybody else. Even as a female, they just, it was no big deal. They respected me and did what I asked and went on their day. So,
now, wasn't there a female athletic trainer for the Rockets? Wasn't it Missy?
Mm-hmm.
Was she the head trainer there for the Rockets?
I believe she was the assistant. Keith Jones is still the head trainer there. He's been there like 18, 19 years.
Yeah, because Keith took over for, what was it, Dave?
I think it was Dave.
Because Missy did. And then, because Missy was working with the Comets. She was the head trainer at the Comets.
Right.
And she helped out with the Rockets.
Right, yeah, she kind of had to do both, and that was probably a little taxing on her, because, the seasons are opposite, and I can't imagine traveling with the NBA team, because their season is really long, and they travel a lot, so a lot more than I'm used to. So.
And right now they're traveling a lot,
and
it's shortened season.
Yeah, short amount of time, because of shortened seasons.
Yeah, they may be gone, seven days in a row, and they'll just go to city instead of come back to Houston. They'll just travel for seven, 8 days and then come back. And they'll have a home stretch, and then they'll do it again. So.
Yeah, because I know what Keith's job. Keith, he has to do he's in charge of money, and he has to do all the travel arrangements, plus be the head athletic trainer. So I mean, he's more of a businessman and athletic trainer. So that's a big time job there.
Yep. But the most down to earth, nicest person you'll ever meet. So it's nice to see that it doesn't go to your head if you're the head trainer at a big function like that, I guess. Big organization.
Yeah, I had the luxury of meeting him. I don't know how long ago. I think it was when Barkley was still here playing for the Rockets.
Yeah.
I got to see them play, and I got to go with Dr. Mosley.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day before they did the big breakup, I got invited and got to sit right on the court with him. And it was pretty awesome back when they played at the old place where
Compact.
Yeah, back when,
it's now where Lakewood Church.
Lakewood Church is now, but and then go back into the dressing room and meet players and stuff. It was pretty awesome, very humbling,
Yeah.
I'm just a little high school trainer and got to see all the pros and see how they, it was just amazing. It's kind of like going to seeing all the professional places. It's just totally different settings.
Yeah, so. It's completely night and day, I think, even from the college setting. It's different, and it's very political. You have to worry about, a lot of money and workman's comp. When they get injured, they're on workman's comp, like a job, because that is their job. So their deadlines are a lot more serious.
Yeah, they have to have all the injury reports, and they have to, whether they're questionable, probable, all that stuff. So it's just like a little too much.
Yeah, it was pretty serious, but it was a really neat way to learn and see a different level, because I'd wanted to do that for a long time, and then I said, maybe that's not for me. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I like that. Because I kind of did the same thing with physical therapy. I volunteered at a clinic, and I was like, no, that's not what I want to do. And then I had an internship with the Texans. No, that's not quite what I want to do either. So, volunteer, check something out, and like you just said, I don't know that I really want to do that. And, this is really what I didn't want to do, and now I know what I have to do to get there. So,
yep.
Very cool. Excellent words of wisdom from a very experienced and traveled athletic trainer. As Don is the head trainer at Rice University. So that pretty much, unless there's any questions from the floor, you got about 5 seconds. All right. So that'll pretty much bring us to the end. These kids are going to start eating their fingers again, as they do each time we do this, because it's lunchtime. There's a couple people I want to mention. At KingVolt on Twitter, that's my buddy that provided us with some music that we put in when I'm edit or produce the shows. So he's given me the right to use that music without any sort of royalty or anything like that. So after we do our 700th episode, then and we're listened to on ESPN, you know, then he'll get some real good airtime and I won't have to pay any fees. So I want to thank, his name is JJ Worthen, and on Twitter it's @KingVolt, so you can find out all of his information from there. And then @ElementOP on Twitter also is, or elementop.com, they provide a lot of resources for me for podcasting. Like I said, I watch these guys do it, and then that's where I learned a lot of what I do here at the school with these kids to make a show happen rather than just, I don't know, me just recording my own self talking.
Flying by our wings here.
Yeah. And so, you know, I just want to continue to thank those guys because I emailed them a couple of different questions this last week, and, you know, they're real quick to respond. And so @ElementOP or ElementOP, Element as in periodic table of elements, and then OP as in OP Taylor, ElementOP.com. So check them out, or @KingVolt. So.
Yeah. And our words of wisdom that we always put out is education is not the filling of a bucket, but the lighting of a flame. What will be your legacy be? Or what will your legacy be? Pardon me there. Will the word be brighter, be a brighter place from the flames you have ignited?
That's good. I like that.
I think it was Promethean is a technology company, and I think it was on a T-shirt that they gave me because they have the flame of learning. So I think I stole the first half from them, and then I came up with the question myself. So.
Yeah.
I'm getting old. I'm 30. I'm getting this some wisdom. Okay, and if you want to check out any of the stuff about Rice Sports Medicine, it's riceowls.com, and then you click on Departments, and then Sports Medicine, and then that's their page, and it has all their information there. And also I'll put the link to email Dawn if you want to. Again, about the summer camp, or I know she didn't really want to mention it, but they're talking about doing a CEU opportunity this summer for to raise money for their sports medicine program. And so more information on that will be out. You know, there's really not many details on that at all. And so, but I just want to go ahead and throw that out there. If you want to email her about something like that, check it out. Or if you have kids that want to go up there and volunteer, riceowls.com, Departments, Sports Medicine. And then if you want to contact us, you can check out the website, www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic-training.
Or you can follow us on Twitter @PHS Sports Med, Google Plus, PHS Athletic Training. You can also like us on Facebook or just comment at facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. Or if you really want to talk to us personally, you can call our office phone at 713-740-0310, extension 01312.
And then, of course, the app. I'm always still working on that. PHS Athletic Training on the Android market. I don't have the iOS one yet or any of the other ones. And so it's an easy way to listen to the podcast. You can check out the photos. And I'm still working on Live Album, but I think I got it working. I think. And so check it out. Let me know. Or just listen to the podcast. So for Jeremy, Bill, Sarah, Dawn, Michelle, Anna, and the rest of the sports medicine class, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.